You are listening to BensTorah.com.
When it comes to Pesach, there are many, many, many mitzvahs we're going to be performing during this time frame. In actuality, it's probably one of the most mitzvah-oriented Yom Tovim of all the Yom Tovim we celebrate of the Shlosh Regalim the entire year round. And Chazal point out that since the major hashkafot, which we derive from the Yontov of Pesach, and what it is basically commemorating, is so crucial to our beliefs when it comes to the Emun of Adeus we have to have when it comes to Torah and Mitzvahs and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Rebbe Lishon gave us a proliferation of mitzvahs we do during Pesach to bring home to us and to highlight to us all the major hashkafas we learn from this very important Yontov and this historical event called the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The major highlight of the Pesach holiday is not by the fact we all eat matzah after the whole Yom Tov, or things that will cause us to add some pounds to our body. The Iker is the Seder on the night of Pesach. In Eretz Yisrael, they only have one Seder. In Chutz Laretz, where we are living now, we have two Sedarim. And the fact of the matter is, all of the incredible chinuch activities that are done in our beautiful yeshivas and beis yakos for our boys and girls, a lot of them spend a lot of time before the Yom Tov Pesach to teach them about the Haggadah, to teach them about Mitzrayim, the CPCS Mitzrayim. All the children come with a lot of papers of Torah to say at the table, to ask a lot of questions and to give a lot of answers. So it's a time of tremendous interaction between parents and between children, between grandparents and grandchildren, when it comes to talking about all the events that took place during the time of us living in Mitzrayim, what happened when it came to the Makos and when we left Mitzrayim and we came to Kriyas Yamsuf, what happened to Kriyas Yamsuf, and how we lived and survived in the Midbar, and what finally happened at Har Sinai. Haggadah is full of incredible historical narratives, which have an importance I'll discuss today. So what I want to do is give you a backdrop and knowledge of what in fact is the mitzvah on the night of Pesach, which we call the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the saying over of the Haggadah from beginning to end, is a keim of the mitzvah deraisa that the Rambam enumerates in the Sefer Mitzvos, and that is the mitzvah of CPSCS Mitzrayim. And as the Rambam defines it, what is the mitzvah of CPSCS Mitzrayim? The Rambam says it's a mitzvah, say, one of the positive mitzvahs of the Torah, l'saper, to say over on the night of the 15th of Chodesh Nisan, the night of the miracle and Makkah of Makkas Becharos and the final declaration of Paro, that up until now we might have been avodim to Paro and to the Mitzrayim, but from this point on we're now avdei Hashem. We have been officially emancipated by the Egyptian Empire. We're now our own nation. We have total autonomy. And Moshe told Paro, we're not leaving at night. We're leaving by day with a tremendous parade of millions of Jews walking out as tremendous, successful aristocrats, a free people, a people that are able now to worship the God they want to worship, not subject to any more Shibbet Malchus, nobody can persecute us anymore. It was a tremendous, tremendous event of Yetzias Mitzrayim that took place, mamish, by midday. The whole world was able to see the Jews proudly march out of Egypt on our trek and our mission to ultimately head towards Har Sinai, which will be ultimately reached approximately 49, 50 days later on, as Hashem had forecast. And all the miracles that took place from the time of the beginning of the Makkos to coming to Har Sinai, all of that is delineated and discussed in the Haggadah one way or another. There's a mitzvah for us to talk about all the miracles, Nisan, the flaws, and the wonders that happened to our forefathers And we have to do this on the night of the 15th. And the pasuk he quotes is the pasuk that says, Zachar es yom hazeh asher yitzas Yisrael. We have to remember. And remembering over here doesn't just mean remembering in our mind. The mitzvah zechira here is like the zechira by Shabbos. You have to articulate the memory of the events that took place when it comes to the miracles of Mitzrayim and leaving Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and the Midbar, going all the way up to Kabbalah Satira and ultimately our entry into Eretz Yisrael later on. The Chizkiya talk about all these miracles as part of the historical narratives we're supposed to discuss on the night of Pesach at the Seder, and the Haggadah contains the major elements of our discussion itself. Now, what is interesting is that there is another pasuk in the Torah, in Parshas Bo, that discusses the fact that we're not just supposed to just remember, you know, with a very simple statement of remembrance, but we have a chiyuv to go further than just remembering. We have a chiyuv of elaborating on the events that took place, and the source that we know, from which we learn we have to elaborate, is another pasuk in that parasha, which says, "He gal levincha b'yom u'leima b'avor zeh." The pasuk says we have to be magid to our children on that specific day, the day of the 15th, of actually what took place and how it took place. And Chazal point out that this "He gal levincha" is a further elaboration and a further explanation of how the Zechira of Mitzias Hashem is supposed to take place on the night of Pesach. When you do a Zechira, Zechira can mean a perfunctory, very quick statement of the fact that we left Mitzrayim. And in fact, we make such a perfunctory statement the entire year around when we say Kriya Shema in the morning and Kriya Shema at night. We have a third Pasha Kriya Shema called the Pasha of Tzitzis. And in the actual Pasha, this is the third Pasha Kriya Shema, we have the concept of Zikaron Yetzias Mitzrayim mentioned very, very quickly. We say, Mantisra Yitzias Mitzrayim Balaylo Obayom, Mantisra Yitzias Mitzrayim Koli Mechayecha, Chazal Darshan in the Gemara Brachos, that this pasuk tells us the mitzvah of remembering Mitzrayim and the events that took place is the mitzvah kol hashana kula. Besides what we do on the night of Pesach, we have to remember it. We say Kriya Shema on the night in the third Pasha. We say Kriya Shema in the morning Kriya Shema. We have to be zocher the events of Mitzrayim very quickly in a very perfunctory statement, kol hashana kula. On the night of Pesach, however, doing a perfunctory statement is not sufficient. Here the Torah says, "He got to the Levincha." There's a need to have a discussion between parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren, or mishpacha members and friends or relatives that come together to conduct a joint Seder, have to go into a real in-depth analysis of all the events that took place on various types of levels, which I'm going to discuss in the next couple of minutes as I describe what are the halakha requirements of the mitzvah of the Haggadah, the mitzvah of Sipar Yetzias Mitzrayim. I also want to mention, the Chazal point out, there's a specific time frame during which the mitzvah of Haggadah and Sipar Yetzias Mitzrayim have to take place. The Rambam quotes over here that when the pasuk says, "Igal Levincha," and then it mentions Bavor Zeh, referring to the mitzvahs that you have on the night of Pesach, besides saying the Haggadah, there's a mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach that night. There is a mitzvah to eat matzah. There's a mitzvah to eat mara as well. And these three things, Pesach, matzah, mara, some eat them separately. Some had a minik amongst the Tanoim to eat them as a sandwich. Whichever shita you're holding, they all had to be in at the same time. And the Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim is therefore told to us by the Torah that the Sipur and the Haggadah must take place in the same exact time frame as eating the Pesach Matzah Marah. The Pesach Matzah Marah, we know for a fact, must take place after Tzeis Tachavim on the night of the 15th, because the Korban Pesach can only be eaten on the night of the 15th. And since you have to eat the Matzah Marah together with the Korban Pesach, all these eatings of these specific food items, for reasons we'll discuss, have to be consumed on the night of the 15th. You can't start earlier Erev Pesach to be moist b'chol HaKadosh, as they sometimes do when it comes to Kabbalah Shabbos. Here you must start no earlier than Tzeisach Chavim, which is the nighttime itself, nighttime on a Torah level. And you continue during the night, and there's a machlokes when the mitzvah ends, a very important machlokes. According to Rabbi Kiva, the mitzvah of eating the Pesach Matzah Marah and the Haggadah on a Torah level goes the entire night up until the next halachic morning, which is Alos HaShachar of the morning of the 15th. It's an entire night mitzvah concerning all of these specific mitzvahs. That's the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari disagreed. So machlokas in the Gemara and Brachos and Pesachim in other places. And what Elazar ben Azari claims is the mitzvah of, technically speaking, finishing all the mitzvahs halayla, even though he agrees it begins at Tzeisach Chavim, you must finish all the mitzvahs of the night, the eating of the Pesach Matzah Marah, and even saying the entire Haggadah from beginning to end until you actually finish the challah at the end, and you drink the fourth cup, and you say Chasal Si the Pesach Kil Chaso. According to Rabbi Azariah, this must be done by Chatzos HaLaila, by midnight, on the night of the 15th itself. It changes every year based upon the calendar, based upon, you know, what time of the year it is and how late it is. But there's no question you have to look when Chatzos is, because L'chatchila, since it's a Suffolk Deraisa, whether you have the whole night to do this or you have only Chatzos HaLaila, a Suffolk Deraisa, how we paskin, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, and the Ramah says it before the Mishnah Berurah, that to be yotze of all the shitas, we finish everything we're doing that night, from the time of Tzeis, Hakachavim, at nighttime, until Chatzos. By Chatzos, you have to finish the entire Haggadah, and the drinking of the Dala Kosos, and the Hallel we say afterwards. All of that stuff has to be done by the concept of Chatzos HaLaila. And the rest of the night, you can start singing all the other various types of poetry, Chagad and everything else, which were made by Gedolah when it comes to certain Ramazim, to historical and Hashkafic events of Klal Yisrael and Jewish history. Some had a maniac to sing the entire Shir HaShirim after they finished the Haggadah the night after Chatzos HaLaila. Others keep on talking halachically, Hashkafically, about the miracles of what took place in Mitzrayim the entire night up until the morning, even though they held that the actual Seder and all the Ikar stuff has to finish at Chatzos. The Haggadah records Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah when he was in Bnei Brak at the house of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva held all night you can do all of this stuff. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was there. Instead of leaving the Seder at Chatzos and telling everybody else, I finish my Zman, he stayed with all the other Chachamim. You have Rabbi Kiva, you have Rabbi Yeshua, and you had Rav Tarfin, together with Elazar ben Azariah, and they were Mesaper, Mesisulam, the entire night, up until the next morning, until the Talmidim came and told him, it's time to daven Shacharis, it's time for Kriya Shema. So therefore, they went the entire night. Even Elazar ben Azariah was speaking about all the miracles and all the halachos, and discussing that in depth, even after Chatzos, despite the fact that the Ikar part of the Seder was finished by him, by Chatzos HaLaila. So be careful to make sure that you guard yourself, that all the eatings and the Ikar parts of the Haggadah are finished by Chatzos HaLaila. You can continue whatever you want afterwards, but everything, the eating of the Afikomen, and the Dala Koses, and the Halah Afron that they say afterwards, all of that, all those piyutim, up until Chasal Si de Pesef should be done by Chatzos HaLaila, as the Hakpoda mentioned by the Ramah and brought out Halach L'masa by the Mishnah Berurah as well. What I want to spend time on now is the way we are on the time of the mitzvah, and the presentation I'm going to give you now is based upon the Beis HaLevi, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and the Brisker Rav, We had then Rav Soloveitchik Yeshiva University, who was my Rosh Yeshiva, and we have the Brisker Rav's own children, who are of the Brisker Yeshiva in Eretz Israel. They had a specific Seidah HaDavarim that was espoused by their grandfather and great-grandfather of how you conduct the Seder, how you interpret the Rambam and the Makaris here. And that's what I want to share with you in the next couple of minutes, to make sure you cover all the bases when you're in the midst of CBC and Sesrayim on the night of Pesach at the Seder itself. Another one I want to mention to you, that one of the most important parts of the Seder is the Higadat Olavincha, the dialogue that goes on between the father and the son. If you'll notice in the Haggadah, the child asks many questions. The father has the responsibility of answering those questions. This is called, in our Mamaloshin, an interrogative dialogue. Questions are asked and answers are given. The whole Haggadah is a give and take of questions that are posed and answers that are given. When we learn Torah in Yeshiva, what goes on in the Beis Medrash, what goes on into an actual shir that's given by Rosh Yeshivos, is a learning process of Torah. And learning, when it comes to Torah, has always been shown to be done in a specific format, and that is B'Sheila V'Tshuva. Questions are posed, answers are given. It's an interrogative dialogue between the Talmidim and the Rosh Yeshiva, or the Rebbe who's giving the shir. By talking it out and analyzing it and clearing chakiros, and perhaps even having hashkafic or halachic argumentation between the parties to come to the real understanding of what's going on over here, that is exactly the way the Haggadah should be learned on the night of Pesach. You're not just reading a book and reading a couple of lines and just getting to the food and having fun the rest of the evening. There's supposed to be a mitzvah of Talmud Torah being performed on the highest level possible on the night of the Seder itself. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, the paradigm example of how Talmud Torah should be done is realized and experienced in the way we basically conduct the Seder, the way we say the Haggadah, and the way we make Higadah Levincha. I'm going to point out to you various types of guidelines in order for you to understand what I mean by this. As Rav Soloveitchik points out, the fact of the matter is, we'll be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah during the entire Haggadah itself. And at the end of the day, we find the Chazal point out that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is very crucial. Because if a person wants to develop a kesher, a connection between yourself and the Rabbeinu Shalom, and we have as one of our major mitzvahs min HaTorah, the mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, one of the greatest mitzvahs we have is the mitzvah of Avat Hashem. The Sifrei in the Pasuk in Sefer Devarim says upon that Pasuk of V'Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, the Klal Yisrael wanted a clarification how we as mere corporeal physical human beings can develop a relationship to Hashem on a level that we develop a love and an intimacy and the dveikus between ourselves and Hashem. If Hashem is incorporeal, if Hashem has no physical form or physical body for us to relate to, how do we develop an emotion of such a connectivity? We feel a love and affection and a dveikus between we who are physical, corporeal, and Hashem who is incorporeal. How do we do this? So the Medrash Halach in the Sifrei says, the Rabbeinu Hashem explained the answer to us in the Shema Yisrael, when it says "V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha v'chol levav v'nefesh kol miyodecha," the Rebbeinu Hashem says, "You want to know how to get to Hashem on such a level and have such an ava? Read the next pasuk: V'ahoyu hadram ela sharech mitzavka hayom alav avecha shemitekaka tamakim mishaom on Hashem." That if you want to get to know Hashem, study very, very much in depth the beautiful Torah in all of its processes that Hashem gave us at Har Sinai. He gave Moshe Kol HaTorah Kula. Moshe disseminated to us Kol HaTorah Kula. Torah Shebikzav, Torah Shebapeh, Torah Shebapeh. We have so much when it comes to two Talmudim, Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi. We have Midrashim. We even have Sisrei Torah, Kabbalistic sources of interpretation of Torah. In fact, there's a part, there's four different ways of interpreting Torah on different types of intellectual planes. The fact of the matter is, if you take the Torah and you analyze it in its most in-depth fashion, you will come to a knowledge of who Hashem is and what Hashem is all about and the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the powers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the knowledge of Hashem. You'll be able to see the brilliance of the divine mind of Hashem contained in all the chapter that Hashem used in not only creating the Torah, but the creation of the physical Bria in which we exist to this day in all its multifaceted essences. Just look at the galaxies, look at the solar system, look at the configuration of the sun where the Earth is. The Earth was placed by HaKadosh Baruch in an orbit. That's exactly where it has to be. We're close enough to the sun to benefit from its heat. Not too close, because if we're too close to the sun, we might be burnt up. If we were too far away from the sun, we might freeze. So Hashem created everything with tremendous precision. Orbits in the whole universe, stars and everything else which benefits here us on Earth on different ways scientifically in order to show the incredible omnipotence, the divine power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is simply unlimited. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, is the Bari Alamim. And if you want to come to understand who Hashem is, look and study all the chachmas of Hashem contained in the Torah Maaseh Bereishis, study it, analyze it, and you'll come to recognize and know Hashem. And ultimately, you'll be so appreciative what Hashem did for us, you'll come from Yedias Hashem and Akaras Hashem to Avat Hashem. And that's what we have to keep in mind, because on the night of Pesach, that's what we're going to try to accomplish by saying the Haggadah properly and analyzing the information we have in front of us and saying the Haggadah with proper intellectual analysis and everything that we're going to bring into the picture. We're going to come to Akaras Hashem during the night time. We're going to come to a knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the end, we're going to have so much appreciation. We're going to develop an Avat Hashem as a result of doing the Seder properly and saying the Haggadah properly, utilizing the time in a very constructive fashion. In the world of many Gedolim, after they finish the Haggadah and all the Piyutim they say after the Haggadah, they used to sing Shir HaShirim for a period of time after the Haggadah and everything else to show that because of the Haggadah and the Seder, they have such an Avat for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said the song of love that exists between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, Ani Lo Dodi V'Do Dili, to show that the Avat Hashem that he wanted to accomplish by singing Shir HaShirim was accomplished because of our experience of the Haggadah and what we derived from the Haggadah. That gave us the ability to reach the level of spiritual exaltation to sing our praises and love to Hashem by saying Shir HaShirim the rest of the evening before the next morning davening begins. So this is something you have to keep in mind when it comes to what some of the things we're supposed to accomplish in the recitation of the Haggadah itself. Now, what's interesting and fascinating is that Rav Soloveitchik points out, and this is a very important part of today's shiur, that there's certain parts of the concept of learning Torah and analysis that have to take place in the Haggadah on the night of Pesach itself. Yigal Levin means, once again, in-depth analysis of the Torah. And over here, I'm going to quote you that the Rambam held, and our Soloveitchik accentuates, and the Haggadah contains them, in order for us to come to a cognizance of Hashem, a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately an appreciation for what Hashem has done for us, and ultimately develop an Avat Hashem, a tremendous Ava, upon the completion of the Seder itself. The third thing I want to mention to you, and the Rav Soloveitchik is very, very specific, is that if you look at the Haggadah has at least three different elements involved in our analysis of the world in which we live and its relationship and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and its connection to us as Klal Yisrael. If you look very carefully in the Haggadah, it has three parts. You first have what is called the classical Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebaal-Peh part, where psukim are quoted from the Torah, and you have Midrashi Halacha and Midrashi Haggadah, Dashni in the psukim, And this is a process. I call this the ultimate process, the process of studying and analyzing Torah. Not only are we going to be discussing the halachas of the night in the context of the Haggadah, not only are we going to be discussing the psukim that describe the shibud of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, and the ultimate geula from that shibud, which is mentioned in the Haggadah, we are also going to discuss the concept of the Tami HaMitzvahs, while we eat the Pesach Matzah Mara and do the other Mitzvahs HaLaila, to explain why tonight's different than all of the nights. The Manishtalar, quite obviously, sets up the question and answer, the interrogative dialogue that's going to take place the rest of the evening. The Haggadah starts with questions, the questions of the Manishtana, and the basic thrust of the Manishtana is we're doing things on the night of Pesach that seem to imply we're commemorating our slavery. We're doing other things in the Haggadah and the night of the Seder that seem to emphasize we're B'nai Chayrim and we're freed people. Isn't that a contradiction of what we're doing over here? And the answer is no. On the night of Pesach, Chayva Dumliros Giliyotzim Mitzrayim, there is a Kabbalah we have, that on the night of Pesach, we have to not only talk about Mitzrayim and Haggadah as an historical occurrence of the past, of thousands of years ago, but we have to feel on the anniversary date, on the night of Pesach, on the 15th, as if we are now undergoing the redemption from Mitzrayim at this point in time. We say in the Haggadah, Chayev Odom Liras Atzmo, Kilu Hu Yotzim Mitzrayim. We have to feel as if we're actually leaving Mitzrayim on the night of the 15th, and the same Pesach Seder they had on the 15th of Chodesh Nisan thousands of years ago at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're now having the same Seder now. We're eating the same foods they ate then. Well, we had a Beis Hamikdash. We also had the Korban Pesach. Besides the Matzah, besides the Marah, today we don't have the Korban Pesach anymore until the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. In fact, we can't even eat roasted meat on the night of Pesach now. Our minhag is, people shouldn't think that we were magdish it as a Korban Pesach. We're eating kashrut outside the Beis Hamikdash, which is an Issa D'oraisa. So our minhag is not to eat roasted meat on the night of Pesach. We eat meat that's not roasted, it's cooked, or chicken or other foods that are basically cooked, not roasted, in order to show that we're very careful about not trying to eat roasted foods that might be looked upon as a korban at a time frame that's prohibited because there's no Beis Hamikdash. But we are, in actuality, reliving the experience. Sfardim have a minhag, many of them, to march around their house, march around a ballroom, as if they're basically making the journey out of Mitzrayim starting on the night of the 15th, even though they really didn't leave until the day of the 15th. But they try to show that they're making their way, getting ready to leave, and undergo Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we acted out, but we're supposed to realize it's not a make-believe act. It's a chiyuv for a person to feel as if you're actually undergoing the metamorphosis, going from slavery to freedom on the night of Pesach, and the Haggadah and everything we do as part of the Seder, as part of the Sipur, helps us develop this feeling and this emotion during that evening. One part of the Haggadah is Torah analysis in every form that you possibly can. Shaila v'tshuva, questions are posed, answers are given, is one part of the Haggadah experience. Two, you want to see manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the incredible natural world Hashem created. Look at the incredible handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creating such a magnificent universe in which we live. Billions and billions of stars. Who knows how many small little planets. Look at the powers of the way Hashem set up the whole system, how the earth is created to be able to have the ability to hold human life and sustain life in a universe at large outside the atmosphere of the earth. We couldn't survive as human beings because they don't have what they need outside there for us to survive. So, quite obviously, the Bria itself is an incredible plea. The fact the world was created, Yesh Miayin, Hashem took something that was nothing and miraculously made it into an incredible universe instantaneously, is the greatest miracle that was ever performed, creating something from nothing, Yesh Miayin, a major amunah and bitachon we have to have. And the way Teva works, the Teva of the universe, the way the Teva of the scientific elements of the universe work, how we basically look upon when it comes to electricity and it comes to all the other scientific reality we have, when it comes, quite obviously, to the medical research we do and how to cure disease and how to prevent disease, and how we basically have made inventions to make human life as easy as possible. We no longer have to walk. We have cars. We have airplanes. We have all different types of mobile vehicles that bring us from place to place to save time in our travel time and give us time to use our time instead more constructive things, studying, analyzing, learning Torah and such. When you study the scientific world, that's a tremendous turn on to Yedias Hashem, and that develops our karas, and look what Hashem created for us and gave us the ability to create. It develops also an ava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over time. When you're looking at the Haggadah, we're talking about all the makas that Hashem did in Mitzrayim and in the actual Kriyas Yamsef and later in the Midbar. All of these miracles show Hashem not only can he create Teva, he can change natural law. If Hashem can change natural law momentarily, he surely had to create it initially. So that's another way coming to HaKaras HaLokis by the Haggadah that talks about the makos and the miracles that took place from the time of the Galus Mitzrayim up until Kabbalah Satorah and afterwards. We discuss also history. We talk about Avodim Hayinu, how quite obviously we were Avodim initially in Mitzrayim, how our servitude and subjugation started to take place. We discuss the concept of Rami Ovid Avi, how there were various types of entities in the world that wanted to spiritually destroy us even before we went out to Mitzrayim. At the end of the day, we know for a fact that Lavan had a definitive covenant to try to literally shmad Yaakov and his daughters and all their children to believe in idolatry and not to believe in the Rabbeinu Shalom. He didn't succeed. Yaakov and his whole family left, totally Shalom in the observance of Torah and Mitzvahs, and Malavin Gati, Tarek Misha Shamarti, is the aid that's given by Yaakov when it comes to him and his entire family. So quite obviously, the historical development of the Jews, how we know that all the generations, we have people coming along, Goyim who have an incredible, insane hatred for the Jewish people. We have a Kabbalah, the why halach you do with that Esa Sonias Yaakov is incomprehensible, it makes no sense, and nevertheless, they tried to destroy us, but the Kodesh Baruch was always Matzaleinu Miyadam. Seeing how Jews survived in history, world history, for thousands of years, and all the major empires that tried to subjugate them and destroy them, as Babylonia or Persia, later on we have quite obviously the Greek Empire, and we have then the Roman Empire, the Turkish Empire, the Arab world. They've tried and they haven't succeeded. We're still here, Chai V'Kayam, and all those major empires that have tried to destroy us are now in the dustbin of the world history, no longer the great empires they used to be. So Hashem is behind the scenes keeping us going, and all the promises he made to us in the Bris Bein HaBasharim are being fulfilled to this very day. So the Haggadah has, therefore, as I said, halachic narratives. It has details about scientific realia of Shinei HaTeva that took place during the period of time of Klal Yisrael, historical narratives concerning what happened to us, what people tried to do to us, how Hashem saved us from all these gezeiros kashos against us. This is part of the tochen of the narrative we have in the Haggadah, from the beginning to end, which we recite on the night of Pesach itself. Now, Chazal point out that we have to be very careful, that we have to educate all our children, and it mentions the Dalet Banim, all four different types of children a person could have. The Musa Shmuz of the Dalet Banim to Ganegadal Dibra Teira is to tell us we have to try to educate every child despite where they're holding in this world, despite their dedication to religion, or perhaps their momentary rejection of religion. We have to reach out to every child on their level and try to makarv them, bring them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show them all the miracles Hashem did for the Jews for thousands of years that allow that child to sit in the Seder now and hear the father give over the whole story, and the fact that Jews have had the incredible divine providence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to survive the impossible dream of surviving even under impossible, difficult conditions. We survived it all. We're thriving. All four children can relate to who we are as Klal Yisrael, and you have to gear your questions according to each and every child and the answers you give to them. All four children will ask you different types of questions based upon where they're holding your Yiddishkeit, and we have to be involved as an educator to educate them. That is why also another important factor of the Seder is to say the Haggadah over and translate it in a language that's comprehended by the people who are at the Seder. If everybody knows Lashon HaKodesh, as you probably have in Eretz Yisrael, the other places like that, they don't have to translate any other language because they understand the Lashon HaKodesh in which the Haggadah was written. But if you basically live in France or Germany or America or some other place on the face of this earth, the Ramah says you have to make sure that you translate the words of the Haggadah in the vernacular of the country in which you live, that everybody at the Seder, who might not be fluent in Lashon HaKodesh, men, women, and children, have to be told the Haggadah and translated into a language they comprehend, so everybody understands the entire narrative in the vernacular in which you're translating it. So you say the initial Hebrew text of the Haggadah, and then translate it, if necessary, into the language that it should be understood by all participants. They should get the most from the narratives of the Haggadah by understanding it in a language they basically comprehend. Another important part of the Seder, and that is in the world of education, by now we know that thinking and talking about things using abstract reasoning might work for some people, but not everybody has such incredible, intense abstract reasoning. That's why another major part of the Haggadah is to use visual aids, use props when it comes to giving over the facts of what took place that night. We have a Seder plate, and on the Seder plate we show the people what basically corresponds to the Korban Pesach, and what corresponds to the Maror, and what corresponds, quite obviously speaking, to the matzahs that we're going to be eating. If we have over there also the concepts of we'll use karpas, the bitter tears we had when it came to, unfortunately, the persecution we had in Egypt, and therefore we eat something that has a certain tearful expression that we dip in when it comes to eating the karpas itself. We have all have different types of visual props we use that night to try to make sure everybody who's there, child and adult, understands with exactitude what we're talking about when it comes to the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chayv Adam, not only to Liras, you're not only supposed to see and feel that you left Mitzrayim, some have a Gias Laharos, you have to demonstrate it. You have to act, we have to sit Behaseba, you have to sit by basically leaning on the side that we usually lean on, and no one is to be able to eat as if we're free men. In those days, people who were free men, who were aristocrats, used to sit Behaseba sitting on their side, to show a certain level of luxury, of aristocracy. That's part and parcel to show that you are basically experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim this specific evening when you're saying the Haggadah itself. When it comes to the Haggadah itself, if you notice, there are parts that we discuss in a very in-depth intellectual Torah discussion. There are other parts of the Haggadah that we sing beautiful songs, shiras with tishbachos, as we recite these parts of the Haggadah. What Rav Soloveitchik said is that there is a famous machlokes between the Rambam, Maimonides, and Yehuda Levi the Kuzari, and what's the ultimate way with which we're able to connect to Hashem. Do we connect to Hashem by intellectual discussion and analysis alone, or do we, which means by comprehension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by studying Torah in the text that describe Hashem in a very comprehensive fashion, in human terms, but in a learning fashion? Or are we supposed to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an emotional way, to the apprehension of Hashem, and apprehending Hashem, feeling similar to Samitzvah, is done by singing songs, Shirei Mikdash Brachos. Chazal tell us when they used to sing the Shirei Mikdash Brachos at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Beis HaMikdash and Sukkis, the Shirei Mikdash Brachos raised our apprehension and feeling emotionally connected to Hashem on such a level that many people, including the future Nevi'im, experienced Ruach HaKodesh by the environment of singing and dancing and basically speaking, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beautiful tefillos that is sung with very, very beautiful songs. This is what we do at the Haggadah. We therefore try to use the Rambam's methodology in the Kuzari. We do the intellectual part of comprehension of the Psukim and the Midrash of Chazal, which is the Rambam's Mahalach of comprehension of Hashem. Now, on an intellectual level, the singing and sometimes the dancing and the incredible shiras for Tish Brachos we sing, especially when we start singing Hallel and such, is the emotional connection to Hashem, the apprehension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling the kidivas Hashem litayv, following the Mahalach of the Kuzari. In the Haggadah we do both, so we should use both manifestations to develop a connection to Hashem by doing the Seder in this type of format itself. Chazal tell us that we have to be therefore very, very careful when it comes to the Haggadah to make sure that the children stay up the entire night in order to appreciate not only the fact that they're going to get a present for the Afikomen later on, but on the contrary, we basically let the kids steal the Afikomen, which keeps them up and awaiting for us to then ask for the Afikomen at the end of the meal. So that should keep them up, so they then should ask, what am I going to get if I give the Afikomen back to you? This is some of the stimulus we use to keep little children awake and keep them alive in an active fashion. They shouldn't fall asleep and be up for the actual Seder from beginning to end. We do what we can to facilitate this. The Gemara tells us they used to also give out nasharai to the kids at the Seder itself, something that parents would not normally not do during a meal. They don't want to stop the children from eating normal food. But here you want to keep the kids' attention as peaked as possible. So by giving them an asherai to eat during the meal, the kids say, boy, my mother and father would never give me an asherai the whole year until I finish my meal. And here I'm already starting to get an asherai in the beginning of the meal, before the meal, during the meal, after the meal. This keeps the children awake because you want the children to not only ask the questions, the manishtara, but see the answers to these questions in the different types of formats which I describe above, to see the shiras, the tishbachos, we sing Hallel to Hashem, they should learn these songs and learn the nigudim to participate in the singing. We want them to see the answers to the four questions of the manishtara, what represents the abdus we do on the night of Pesach, and what represents the cheros, the concept of matzah and mara, what happened to our forefathers in Egypt, and how that impossible situation was finally taken care of by Hashem by freeing us against the ratzon of the entire Egyptian empire. All of this we want the kids to experience, that when they leave the Seder on the night of Pesach, they should have the same spiritual elation, the same spiritual feeling of incredible hakaras hatayv to the Rabbeinu Shalom, for all the good he's done for all of us, from Klal Yisrael, from the beginning of time to the present. They should feel this specific type of regesh, look forward to the Seder and the excitement of the Seder. This is the ultimate type of chinuch b'nei v'bnos we're supposed to try to accomplish on the night of Pesach by orchestrating the Haggadah in a proper fashion, in a proper format, to make it as interesting, as exciting as possible. So everybody is there, no matter what age caliber it is, should have the God explained to them on their specific level, and also understand, witness, experience, and therefore see all the great things that are taking place to make this the most exciting experience you possibly can have when it comes to experiencing the Seder. If you look in the Haggadah, there is a tremendous amount of time spent by the Baalei Haggadah on the Makos, on the 10 Makos that we experienced in Mitzrayim together with the Egyptian Empire. And what I want to share with you over here as the last piece of my presentation today is a beautiful explanation of why Marcus is so important. And this explanation is given by the Abarbanel in his very, very incredible perish he gives in his magnum opus to the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which is a sefer in its own right. You have to have a lot of time to read this perish of the Haggadah of the Abarbanel. But he does an incredible job of explaining how important the Makos were to the bigger picture of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The obvious question he asks is, why in the world did we need 10 Makos for Hashem to convince Paro to get us out of Mitzrayim, to send us out as quickly as possible, since we know for a fact that Makos Becharos was going to be the ultimate last of the Makos that was going to push Paro to the wall to such a pressure point? His own son was killed, and him as being a Bechar was the next one that might die. This is the last pressure point Hashem pushed in order for him to acquiesce that Klal Yisrael should leave. We're now no longer going to be Avdei Paro, going to be Avdei Hashem. Why do we need 9 of the Makos? Makos Becharos would have been sufficient, the Makos Bepatish, the final Makos, to finish the job and get us out of there. Why do we need all of the other Makos? So the Barbanel points out that one of the quandaries that the Rabbeinu Shlom had when it came to the debacle of what happened in Mitzrayim and the incredible Avedis HaPerach and the terrible things that this specific society were doing on every level possible, whether they were spiritual activities or physical activities. This place was the Erva Aretz, one of the most perverse places on the face of this earth, despite their technological knowledge and their great advancement in having the strongest army in the face of this earth. As a culture, as a society, it was a very debased society. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim, which is one of the purposes, is not sufficient. He wants to once again reintroduce the world to the fact that there is a God of Israel, who is the only God that exists in the universe. When Paro was told by Moshe, Hashem says he wants us to leave Mitzrayim to worship him, Paro just negated God. Mi Hashem, who is this God? We don't recognize that your God exists. He's not listed in any of our texts that list all the gods that we claim exist in the universe. If he ain't in these authorized lists, there is no such thing as the God of Israel. She'eshma v'kailo, I shall listen to this God. Are you crazy? Ashaleach, and I shall send out his people and let all my slaves go free. So Paro and the Mitzrayim, which represented the world at large, were 100% full-fledged rejectionist of HaKadosh Baruch on every level you could possibly think of. But the Baruch Hashem therefore felt that before the Jews go free, he has to once and for all change natural law momentarily for an entire year to educate Paro, the Mitzrayim, and the entire non-Jewish world, and even on certain levels, Kalal Yisrael, to the fact who the Rabbanu Shalom is and what the Rabbanu Shalom is capable of doing if Hashem wants to do what he wants to do. And therefore, according to the Abarbanel, all the makos that Hashem basically put upon Mitzrayim were not just merely punishments, but also academic and educational, to teach him on a theological level who the Rabbeinu Shalom is and what are the capabilities of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So, ultimately speaking, Paro the Mitzrayim should say, Etzbe Elokimit, it's a finger of the Jewish God that's doing all of this stuff, come to a cognizance of Hashem. And the three areas, the Abarbanel says, that Paro and the Mitzrayim and the world at large rejected when it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first most basic one, when he said, Mi Hashem, Paro says, I don't believe there is a God. Says the Abarbanel, the first three makos, Dam, Tzavadei, V'kinim, had one major purpose. In order, Bezos, Teda, Kini Hashem, to teach the world there is a God of Israel. And by the time it came to the third makos, Kinim, which they could not replicate, the Chatumim said to Paro, Paro, you're mistaken. Etzvel Akimi, there is a God of Israel. This Makakina we cannot replicate. We can't duplicate. Let me try the Dam in Svardaya. This God is supernatural powers above our kochos. So cognizance of the fact that Hashem exists was one major purpose of the first three of the makos of the ten makos. The next three makos, the Ara of the Dev of the Shin, it says in the Torah, what is the purpose of this, of these makos? That this God not only exists and can change natural law, but his presence is felt not only in heaven, his presence is felt on the face of this earth. He's v'kerev ha'aretz, there's divine providence, there's hashgacha pratis, divine supervision. God can tell the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, even if they're standing next to each other, even if they're contained in the same house. A Jewish animal and an Egyptian animal standing next to each other, when he smites them with dever, or he smites the human beings with shtin, or he brings wild animals, arov, to invade the different habitations of the Jews and Egyptians. It's interesting that all the markers only affected the Egyptians, their bodies, their animals, and their habitations. The Jews, who were the next door neighbors, didn't suffer in their body, didn't suffer when it came to their animals, didn't have problems when they came to their houses. There was total division, total separation. They were taught, therefore, the concept of the omniscience, the one knowledgeable nature of Hashem, is Hashgacha Pratis, which power rejected. Hashem Eshme Bekolo, guess what? He does exist. And when it came to the last four makos, the Barad, the Abra, the Cheshik, and the Makos Becheirais, Chazal say, what's the purpose of these makos? That the world should know, ki ein kamani b'chol aretz, there's no other God in the universe that's equal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that has the omnipotence, the unlimited divine power God has. Nothing can stop Hashem in punishment and reward. And therefore, if that's the case, the last makos showed Paro the strength and the powerfulness of the Rabbeinu Shalom in changing natural law, in manipulating natural law, and ultimately causing things to take place that will change the heart and minds of the entire world and recognize the God of Israel in all its ramifications. It was an educational process. It was 12 months. Each makos went for 1 month apiece. And ultimately speaking, it was to teach the world who Hashem is before Hashem punished the Egyptians and caused Klal Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim. It had a very big educational purpose, for not only the Geisha, but even for Klal Yisrael to witness this themselves with their own eyes and witness it with their own physical bodies. That is why it takes up so much time in the Haggadah narrative, because at the end of the day, you have to want to come to know who Hashem is and recognize Hashem, Hakaras Elokis, and Yedias Elokis, Hakaras Hashem, to come to Avad Hashem by the end of the Seder. That is why in the Haggadah, you'll find that after all the ten makos are listed explicitly, you have Rabbi Yehuda giving a simen to remember them. And that is the Netzach, Adash, Bachav, taking every group of makos and dividing it into three parts. Why did he do it? It wasn't only for memory purposes, but to show that each one of the groups of these makos had a different purpose. The Netzach was to teach the Metzias of Hashem. The Adash makos was to teach Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis on the face of this earth. The Bacha was to show you the incredible, divine, all-powerfulness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the omnipotence of God, how nothing can stop what Hashem says is going to take place. Even the most powerful king and most powerful empire on the face of this universe could not stop Hashem for ultimately afflicting them with Makos Becheirais towards the end of the Ten Makos itself. What is interesting to note, and I'll end with a statement of one of the great Mukubalim, the Ari HaKadosh, he points out we have an interesting principle we find in Tanakh. And that is, many times people have, whether as a Jew, non-Jew, words put into their mouth by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where they say something and they mean one thing in what they're saying, but prophetically their words contain stuff that means something totally different, and that will only be seen in retrospect later on. It just so happens that Ari HaKadosh says that you can see this happen when it came to Paro's rejection of the request of Moshe. When Moshe says, I want Shlach Lami Yehudi B'Midbar, send the Jews out to worship Hashem in the Midbar. So what did Paro say? Mi Hashem, Asher Eshla B'Kolo. Who is this God I got to listen to him. So the Ari HaKadosh says, I want to teach you something quite interesting. If you look at the abbreviation, the acronym of the 10 Makos contained in the Tzach, Adash, and Be'achav, if you add them based upon gematrios, taking their value in numbers based upon the letters, it adds up, believe it or not, to the number of 501. The Tzach, Adash, Be'achav adds up to 501. He points out that if you look at the value, numerical value of the word Asher, Aleph, Shin, Resh, that also adds up to 501. And he says the following, when Paro said and answered Moshe defiantly, who is God? Rejecting God on every level, Asher Eshma Bekolo, what God really made Paro say, but he didn't realize it initially, is you're saying who Hashem is? Asher. Asher, in this case, is a allusion to the Gematria 501, and it's an allusion to the Tzach, Adash, Be'achav, which also end up to 501. What Paro really said is, who was Hashem? Asher. What I experienced with the rest of the Egyptians, the Tzach, Adash, Be'achav, the Gematria of 501, Eshma Bekolo, I then will listen to Hashem and send the Jews out. He was misnabe, not even realizing what he was being misnabe, and therefore we see how the Rabban Hashem controls even the statements made by some of the biggest Rishayim in the world, sending a message which they don't understand initially, which becomes apparent many, many years later on. We're living in historical times. We're living in a period in the Tkufa that there are tremendous amounts of things taking place, miracles taking place around us continuously, open miracles, hidden miracles, the Tzaras confronting Klal Yisrael from every direction you can possibly think of. And what we have to realize is that we have to keep in mind to realize that Klal Yisrael are promised eternal existence with Aman Ivka to the end of time. And even though Shebechol Dover Do'ayim Do'aleinu Lechaloseinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matzaleinu Midon, Hashem has promised to always save us. And thank God He has kept His promise, and that's why we're here. Going to say the Seder this year, Miyat Hashem B'Shotov V'Mitzlachas. When you say the Haggadah and say the Seder, inculcate all of these concepts and ideas, not only to the adults that are sitting there, but to the children, to realize Ashreinu Matel Chalkeinu, that we are the Amanifa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every promise He made to us that He's going to keep on behalf of Klal Yisrael has been fulfilled up until this point in time. And therefore, if that's the case, the ultimate promise of the ultimate Geula taking place, the final Geula, the Geula Asida, which hopefully will take place shortly, which will redeem us from Galus, remove the Shibud Malchus of all the anti-Semites on the face of this earth, especially those sitting on the seats in the United Nations and around other parts of the world as well, giving us total freedom, total ability to worship Hashem and observe all the Tayyak mitzvos, no more Arab terrorists, no more Russian or Turkish or other Arab nation animosities being manifested to us, threatening us with discretion as Iran. All of this will be eliminated by the Rabbi Lushan before the Biatzma, the proper time, the proper place. As well, Lushan above you, Shlam Habanuya, next year, you should be zeched to have the actual Seder in Yerushalayim. But this time, with the incorporation of the brand new Karban Pesach and Mekayim the Mitzvah in the full fashion, with everything the way it was on the night of the 15,000s of years ago. And therefore, Talmidos and Talmidim, I want to wish you there for Chakasha v'Sameach. Next week, you're all going to be busy cleaning your homes and getting yourself ready for the Yom Tov of Pesach. I don't want to stand in your way, therefore put you in a debate what to do over here. So this is the last year of this month before the Pesach holiday begins. I want you to think about what I said. There's a tape going out, so if you want to hear again what I said, you can listen to it many times. And then, after Shem, after Pesach is over, B'Shotei V'Mislavas, we'll begin the Shurim again and continue. Before we know it, we'll be hitting Shavuos. And before you know it, we'll be celebrating the ultimate redemption that Bis Mashiach Tzid Kein Amen V'Amen. Chakoshev V'Sameach, everybody. L'shana Habab, Yishlam HaBanuya, V'Chein Hi Ratzav.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.